Continue unpacking that word by hearing the gospel before us today from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I'll begin reading in the 10th verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we continue to consider today, what does it mean that Jesus is the bridge to life? And then how do we share that with others? I was thinking this week about exchange rates. A friend of mine shared about how happy it was when he made a small sum of money when he sold his Bitcoin around, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, right? Now, this week, as we were chatting and he was looking at its valuation at $64,000, he doesn't feel quite as jubilant about what he'd made that many years ago, right? Exchange rates. As we think about it, I was considering another one. This is at the beginning stages of Craigslist some years ago. Some of you might remember this viral TED Talk. Kyle MacDonald thought he'd give Craigslist a try. And so he posted this red paperclip there and said, who would like to trade for this red paperclip? And he was pretty thrilled when someone offered to give him a fish-shaped ink pen, right? He thought it was bigger than the paperclip, moving right along. He decided to post that fish-shaped ink pen onto Craigslist again and trade it for something else. And this continued for some time, as some of you will remember from this TED Talk. Until finally, he had a house signed over to him in his name. What started as a red paperclip ended with a deed for a home. Now, this is a pretty great exchange rate. But what we're going to talk about today is an even greater one. What theologians, sometimes attributed to Martin Luther, although he never quite said it like that, call the great exchange. The great exchange, where we give Jesus our red paperclip. No, I mean our sin. And he gives to us something even greater than a house here, but a home for eternal life. It's the great exchange. When Luther was writing to a friend who is experiencing a spiritual crisis, his friend George Splennen, he wrote this. He said, meditate on this love of his, and you will see his sweet consolation. He goes on to say that just as he's received you, so he has taken on her, has made your sins his own. He's taken on your sins and instead has made his righteousness yours. This is the gift. This is the great exchange. This is why Jesus is the bridge to life. And we'll see that clearly in both Romans today and in the gospel, where we're introduced to Jesus, the good shepherd, here in John chapter 10, who tells us that it is not death, but life that he comes to give us, and life abundantly. This is his heart desire for us. In verse 11, he will go on to explain who he is and what he's doing. There he'll tell us that he is the I am, ego eimi. When they hear that phrase, I am, the Jews listening will hear immediately the God who tells us in the Old Testament that I am who I am. But they'll also hear as he tells us that he says, I am the good shepherd. This is not a new term for those listening then. In fact, we read in Ezekiel chapter 34 that as the prophet longed for faithful shepherds, pastors to lead God's people, he said eventually in verse 11 of that chapter, he said, I'm going to do it myself. I myself will be the shepherd. And now Jesus lets us know that's who he is. I am, ego eimi, the good shepherd. He's letting us know it's one Lord, one God. Jesus is Yahweh. That the God, as Dan Weber will put it, of the New Testament is the same God as we read in the Old. Neither his characteristics nor his standards have changed. Jesus is Yahweh. And this good shepherd is good. But why is he good? The text tells us clearly why Jesus is good. Kalos, or which means good or beautiful or noble. He's noble. Well, we know about that because he lays down his life for us, for his friends. When in just a few weeks we'll celebrate on Memorial Day those soldiers and airmen and sailors who have given their life for their friends, for us. And we'll recognize them as noble servants. That's who the Good Shepherd is. The one, he tells us several times, who lays down his life for us. I like how F.F. Bruce put it. He said this word for laying down shows us that the Good Shepherd is good because his primary concern is not for his own, but for his sheep. He risks his own life for theirs. There's a sense of laying it on the line for us that Jesus does. But even more than just laying it all on the line, he lays down his very personhood. As we explore that word more deeply, we wonder, does God care for us? The scripture says, now, unlike the hired hand, the good shepherd cares for us. And he surrenders and sets aside all that he is. He lays down his whole being. This is personal. This is a personal sacrifice for you. And so we get this benefactor language, as one scholar will put it, hyper. Don't miss this preposition that keeps showing up throughout this reading. For the sake of, on behalf of, concerning his sheep for whom he cares. Over and over again we hear in this text as he lays down his life, it is for you. This is the kind of care that Jesus has for you. It's deep, and it's wide, and it's personal. And so when we began to look at this, we understand that this Jesus-shaped path is shaped by the cross. Every other path that we could go on would either lead us to apathy or simply trying harder. Apathy because, well, I'll just do it my way. It doesn't matter what I do. My way is the best way. I don't need to listen to what God has said. That apathetic approach leads us away from this grace. Or simply just trying harder does the same thing. Well, I'll just try a little bit harder. I'll do it myself. Our exchange rate, friends, leads to death. Our way leads to death, both in human history and in our home life. This explains why humans need Jesus, why humanity needs Jesus. For in history, we can see it clearly. Recent history, just yesterday, marked the 25th anniversary of the shooting at Columbine High School. We don't have to look farther than up the road, and we don't even have to go 25 years back to see the brokenness of humanity in our history. We can look around the world and see the tyrants continuing to attack. We can see the brokenness in relationships, in every aspect of life, in society. We can even look back to the 20th century that some thought would be the age that followed enlightenment. It would be the most perfect, beautiful century, and yet we used that enlightened mind to make more efficient ways to kill one another, to have the bloodiest century in history. We don't have to also look at the 10,000 foot level. We can look in our own home life and see that sometimes the people we love most, we hurt the most, or they hurt us the most. Our exchange rate in humanity, left to our own devices, leads to death. We can even see that in our own constitution, in our nation. After all, it was meant to include checks and balances, right? Because humans aren't meant to be left to their own devices. It leads to death. Yes, this Jesus-shaped path is shaped by the cross. And even those like John Dominic Crossan, who would spend his career as one of the founders of what was known as the Jesus Seminar, deeply criticizing the scriptures, throwing out much of the text and much of what we confess as true, had to admit in a recent article I read, I read it recently anyway, on the Biblical Archaeological Review, that even this critic of scripture says that he would consider that the crucifixion of Jesus is as historically certain and as anything in the world can be. This is history, that Jesus died for you, that he laid down his life for you. This is the great exchange rate, where he becomes the bridge to life. For what humans find is the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this exchange rate is far from just transactional. While it pays our debt, remember, this laying down is personal. It's for you. And maybe today you're just feeling like, I am just barely hanging on. I am trying to pay it, maybe yourself. Trying to be the bridge yourself. I want to remind you today, friends, that Jesus has done this. Jesus is the repair or for you. He's your benefactor. You get his report card instead of your own. He brings the good for you. Receive that gift today. And if you've heard it 1,000 times, as Martin Luther reminds us, let's receive it every day. Every day we come to this good news of the gospel. He does this. He sets us free. You don't have to do it yourself. In fact, you can't. But Jesus has done this. He has become the bridge with his outstretched arms on the cross for you. This is a gift that he has given. And you say, well, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about how to share our faith with others in this series of Bridge to Life. And friends, that's just what we've done. You see, we've asked the question that maybe someone will ask you. Why does humanity need Jesus? And the answer is, his exchange rate is so much better than our own. In history or in our home life. And so we can answer with these words of the scriptures. And I pray you take time this week to put them on your heart, to memorize it, to meditate on it, to read it together as a household, as a family, as an individual. Play it on your phone through your sound system in your car when you're driving to work, and put this scripture on your heart so that you'll be ready to give the reason for your hope, so that you can answer the question, why does humanity need Jesus? Because the wages of sin in our history, in our home life, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is the bridge to life. He brings the good. Jesus is the bridge. And so let us receive that gift this morning. And let us now be prepared to share it. Because he is the good shepherd. Amen.